Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Inside Trail. You know, happy Christmas to you all and a happy new year. Today I have two good friends of mine on, Brian Egan and Will Lyons. So I'll introduce you to them soon. But just wanted to, in my pre-spew, just to say that today we're going to be looking at kind of the Christmas period, what it means to us, kind of what is Christmas, and the values associated with it, and, you know, into the new year, and, you know, goal setting, that kind of thing. But yeah, it'd be a good spew, and then obviously followed by the trivia. I'll crucify them as usual. High score at the minute is still Tom DeYoung with five out of ten, not bad, but still, you know, not great. Welcome back. If you're new here, I hope I don't bore you to death. If I do, I know I said this before, but RIP. And if you're coming back after listening for a while, it's great to have you, and hope you're ready for a good spew. So.
Woo!
That never gets old. Jeez. Well, welcome to the Inside Trail. Today I'm joined by Brian Egan, who is studying law and business in Trinity. Brian currently he's living in Sweden in Uppsala, right? Uppsala. Buying all the money. Fun fact about Brian is Brian was our senior cup captain, and you will hear on nights out that when Brian's trying to pull, he'll throw that card in just to, you know. And then I'm also joined by Will Lyons, who's studying business in NCI. Funny thing about Willa is we can always tell when Willa's locked because the Snapchat, and with, you know, all the Snapchat groups get going, Will gets his flirty face on, 2 points in. So who's on? What's up? So there's Willa for you. So if he's not getting hockeyed on Snapchat late at night, Willa's probably locked.
What's up?
But anyway, so welcome to the Inside Trail, lads. It's great to have you.
Thanks very much for having us.
Good to be here.
No worries. So basically today what we're going to try and spew out a little bit is Christmas and New Year's goal setting, and then we'll get to the trivia at the end where I hope you do very badly because the questions are hard.
Oh yeah.
So basically the big thing about Christmas that I was kind of thinking was how, you know, it used to be, well, if you come from a religious family anyway, it kind of is always about Mass and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But like personally, I don't go to Mass, and even on Christmas Eve, I don't do Mass. Just a personal thing. I just choose not to. But for a long time, I felt, you know, that everything is kind of just like, what did you get? You know, well, what did you get, brother? And you just compare your presents to people. Whereas like this was the first year where like I actually don't really know what any of my friends got.
Yeah.
We just never really had that conversation. Yeah. But what we did do this Christmas is, you know, you came home from Sweden. We had, you know, people coming home from all over the world, you know. A good friend of mine, Duncan Tynan, came home all the way from Peru. So welcome home, Duncan, and a couple of the other boys down in Peru. But I think it's great to see everyone coming back for Christmas. And, you know, it has that kind of really close family and friends. And also Hugh Sexton coming all the way home from Australia. There's another one for you. See, all the boys is coming home. Everyone wanted to be involved in the silly season.
Great to see.
Oh, it's class. Love it.
Yeah. But even like, you know, we have our big lads nights at around Christmas. We have 12 pubs where, you know, there's a good few of us. But it is great because I think when you're out of school like that and you do have that group of friends, it is kind of like a family around Christmas. Well, all year round, but I think especially around Christmas, it's good to celebrate. But yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's funny that you mentioned this year is one of the first years where you haven't, like, you don't really know what other people have gotten as much. I kind of noticed that a bit in social media. I remember, like, growing up, I used to be so annoyed seeing all the stories of people, like, posting what they've gotten and all that.
Well, stop, yeah.
But like, I didn't really see that much of that this year or the year before. So I think people are, maybe it's because we're getting older, but there seems to be a shift towards more like a family focus at Christmas ahead of, like, the consumerism or, like, going to Mass and all that. I know it might be different for other people.
Yeah, I think like you said there, like, it is, I think, because we're getting older. Like, when you're younger, like, you're always interested in, like, oh, what do you get? Like, and, like, yeah, some kids, like, they have that in them where it's like, oh, well, like, I need to let everyone know how many presents I got and brand it.
Like a little competition. Almost.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like, and it's just, now that we're getting older, we're kind of realising, I think, well, speaking on my own behalf, probably similar to you guys, but you're starting to realise that, like, around this time here, there's actually more to it. Like you said, all the lads coming back, like, spending time, as we're getting older, as our relatives So like you never know how many Christmases you're going to have left with.
Absolutely.
So it kind of shifts then from just looking at your presents and trying to tell everyone what you got to actually looking at the bigger picture.
And I'm sure for you, Brian, like when you're coming home from Sweden, I know you've been kind of over and back a bit, but technically you have been living abroad and a lot of the last, you know, semester, like the majority of it. I know we just slag you because you do come home a lot, but I'm sure it is nice for you to come from, you know, living on your own in Sweden to then come back into your family home for Christmas. Yeah, that's obviously sure. It.
No, it's lovely. It is lovely because I'm staying in like an apartment by myself. There'll be like a few people in my corridor that I know. But like obviously you miss like your closest friends from school and like being with your family and stuff. And my dad moved away this year for work as well. So it's just great to get like the whole family unit back together.
That's really nice.
For sure, yeah. But this year, like I think, as we were saying, like the main focus for me now, like what I get most excited for is like all the lads and my nights out, and like seeing the family at Christmas and the Christmas dinner. So it's been a shift away from like the presents and.
No, yeah, for sure. Like the 12 pubs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And awesome. That we do.
Having no Santi as well, that's a game changer. Like.
Oh, stop. Kind of changes a bit.
Yeah, this was our first year in my house with no Santi, and both Santi my parents worked on Christmas Day, so. But yeah, it was very different. It's weird when you grow up a little bit and when you don't have that in your house anymore. Christmas becomes the magic is essentially gone. But speaking of Christmas Day, what is your favorite part of Christmas dinner? Can I ask?
Christmas dinner,
the roast potatoes. Oh, lads, wait! My mum makes the best roast potatoes. I'm about to hit it down like. I don't know what is it. It's not goose fat. It's something like
goose fat.
Then like a load of a kind of oil and then flour and then like seasoning whatever. But when they come out of the oven, like they're just so crispy and flaky, and like you're just cutting into it. And each bite is literally just as good as the next. Like and then you put the gravy on top. Oh lads, I need to stop what I'm ahead. It's too good.
How about you, Brian?
I'm a big fan of. Do you guys have like where you cook like the little cocktail sausages in the turkey juices? They're like fucking unbelievable. So good, I'm like skipping the turkey, just going straight to that.
This year, I remember we had these. We had it in my granddad's house, and we had these little stuffing balls. And like they were there on the table like way before the dinner came out, so I was just sitting there chatting, you know, bombing away. And then, you know, and then your dinner sits down, you have to wait for everyone to sit down, everyone started eating, but you know, that's your dinner, you can still pick at the fucking at the stuffing balls. So I'd say 10 of them, just sort of starving.
The mechanical hand, like you just take one, you just
chat
stop.
Away and you just pick, eat, you know. But yeah, just speaking on the reason we actually had Christmas dinner in my granddad's house this year because it was he passed away earlier on this year, so it was the last Christmas that they were going to have in that house. So they had a big Christmas dinner there. Probably the last time I'll be in that house now. But I wouldn't spend that much time with my that side of my family. But it was really nice to actually, you know, go and do that and have that day. Especially it was nice for my dad as well. Obviously that's where he grew up and stuff like that. So. You know, it is, obviously Christmas is a very hard time for people who do, you know, people who are missing family members, whether it be, you know, every year around Christmas, they get a little bit, you know, upset, or whether it's their first Christmas, you know, like I remember years ago, my granny passed away like 10 days before Christmas, and for like 2 or 3 years, like my mum wasn't really the same around Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's different now, but like, you know, I think as well, I was involved in the Christmas Super Run this year, which is run by the past pupils of Belvedere College, which is, you know, like well done to them. It was run absolutely fantastic, and the work that they did over the couple of days was great. But you know, I met people who their family situations around Christmas are, you know, they're really, really hard, and I think I did that 2 days before Christmas, so that really set the tone for me when I went back into my own family, and I felt really kind of like
grateful
for what I have.
Puts things in perspective.
Absolutely.
Talking to them, like you often don't realise just how lucky we are.
Mm.
It's a fantastic thing to do. I wasn't involved in it this year.
I know, it's a nice thing to do. It always does remind me, and that's one of the reasons I do it just before Christmas, because it does get me into that Christmas mode and back into my family mode.
And that's the proper Christmas mode, to be honest. Well, for me anyway, I think that's what Christmas is all about. Like, do you know, like you're going out, and you're talking, it's not just like you're like on the super, it's not just like you're giving people things, like you're sitting down, you're talking to them, you're getting stories, and then you're talking back to them and with them, and you're having a conversation, and like at the end of the day, like that means so much more to them than someone walking by and not even looking them in the eye and dropping like £2 in the club. Because at the end, like if you're sitting down looking them in the eye, chatting to them, they're a person, you're acknowledging them, and you get really good chat with someone.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a gas story.
The
first year I did that, I was in fifth year, so that's anyone good at maths?
Five years ago, something like that.
I met this man and I got on very well with him, and then every year I've seen him since. But there's like a nice feeling when I see him because we have like a connection, but I also get that fuck, like you're here again this Christmas. We'll catch up and that kind of thing. But it really does hit home that, you know, there are a lot of people out there, and like obviously that's the extremity of it, where, you know, people are you know, homeless, and they've obviously a huge amount of family problems that they can't be at home. But even like when you take that back a couple of steps, for people who just, you know, people like if they just don't have certain relationships with people in their family and they just don't get on, you know, there's family feuds, probably an extreme way of saying it, but like, you know, it's hard some families are dysfunctional, and around Christmas time that can be kind of highlighted a bit.
Yeah,
like,
it'd be a tough time for a lot of families, for sure.
Yeah,
but that's, I think, like, just going back to like kind of what you were just saying there, I feel real bad for people in that situation, because they grow up with Christmas as one thing due to, for example, like if someone in the family has a drinking problem, or if parents are splitting up, whatever, like they grow up where it's like Christmas has been a tough time for them.
Yeah.
And then as they get older and they go to where their family, which I don't, like, they probably see it in a different view, but then it kind of gives a whole different meaning to Christmas because it's their family, they can fix what they didn't have when they were younger.
That's a good point. Yeah, absolutely.
And so then, for example, like in my family, like my dad loves Christmas, he just loves it, it's just the time of year for him. And that's because when he was younger, Christmas wasn't like that for whatever reasons that were there. So for him now, having his own family and Christmas having a whole different light and a whole happier meaning, like, he literally loves it. Like, it's just the favourite time of the year, literally like a kid around it.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, I think it's nice that you can just, maybe if Christmas isn't for you when you're younger, it still doesn't mean that's not going to be for you when you get older and you can't change it. Like,
absolutely. I'm sure when you have kids, it's obviously, like, touch wood, but like when you get to that stage where like you do have to kind of be, you know, Christmas becomes more about like your, like, not the family that you were born into, but the family that you create. I'm sure it's kind of then your duty to create that Christmas something. And as you said, if you kind of grow up and you don't have that, it, you're then, you would obviously feel obliged to make Christmas a lot better then, which is obviously really special that your dad does. But what was the other thing I was going to say? Basically the big thing for Christmas that I wanted to kind of spew was that it's all about fucking giving. You know, share what you can, just enjoy everything that you were given. Like, not material things, but like, you know, if you are fortunate enough to have a loving family around you, or if you are fortunate enough to have a great group of friends, you know, it is important to take a step back and embrace that. And, you know, share what you can. Like, I'm not saying throw all your money away and, you know, buy everyone everything, but like, you know, just give someone a hand with something, you know, show them that you love them. Just a kind gesture. And it doesn't have to be to a homeless person, it doesn't have to be to, but just a simple thing, just to get that Christmas spirit. Because like, it's one of those things where like, if you do something for someone and get that Christmas spirit going, like, that's a knock-on effect. And then all of a sudden, you've got all the beans doing everything for each other, and everyone's just like, oh, deez.
Yeah, everyone's going, you know, after.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, obviously, we've had our silly season now. We're slowly, slowly tying it up now. You know, we've our last piece of silliness tomorrow evening. Yet to decide what we'll do, but it should be good. But
that'll be great.
It will be good. And then it'll be time to kind of regather our marbles again.
Yeah,
real life.
Real life. I know a lot of people have kind of, well, for people who didn't have exams before Christmas, they will, you know, have exams afterwards.
Coming up.
Exam
coming up as well.
Yeah, no, so dark. I have 3 weeks of placement.
Oh.
Yeah, so you know, we're all just gonna have to come right, probably not Tuesday, but Wednesday, not the second. We can start to regather then.
Yeah, realistically start the second, like,
the first is a bit of a write off, like. But yeah, so the big part about New Year's is New Year's resolutions, right? Are they good? Are they bad? What do you think?
I think for some people they're good. I think it depends on the person. Because if you're like, for example, like it's an excuse for someone to stop something and start something. So it's like, oh, right, well, like I'll just wait till New Year.
It's fucking April, man. Yeah.
But yeah, like they can. I do think they're good for some people because it gives them that motivation where that they mightn't have in their life. So it's like, oh no, this is my New Year's resolution. Like, I'm going to do this. But the only problem is that people can kind of do too many resolutions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you're doing X, Y, and Z resolution, but you haven't even got X done.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, personally, like, my bit of advice on that would be, like, just take one resolution and roll it. And then once you've rolled it that for a bit, and then the next one comes up, and you can then take that, like, just take it step by step. Because the worst thing you can do, like, I find myself, like, I have a few bad habits, and when I'm trying to knock off the bad habits, it's like, you're doing it all at once, and then, like, it's just a mess. It's a cluster, and you just go back to doing them all.
I think that's one thing that people can kind of make a mistake with that, I guess, in areas, and they're like, right, they have a list of 12 different things, and they're like, right, I'm going to be the cleanest, leanest, meanest monster alive. Like, you know, like, I always laugh at myself, because I'm exactly like that. Like, that's deliberate. I have a list on my phone, and it's probably got about 8 or 9 things. I'm like, getting New Year's resolutions. And, like, I'm only lying to myself if I think I'm doing all of them.
Yeah, fair.
So, and that, like, I just need to, you know, I think everyone kind of needs to just kind of be real with themselves. I think one big thing about New Year's resolutions that I would say is be realistic. Because if you have, you know, 5 or 6 different things, by, you know, week 3, if you've already broken 2 of them,
solid.
Or, you know, like, I think you're better off focusing on one, maybe.
I don't want to knock them completely. Like, they're definitely, like, a useful exercise. I think the problem with them is, like, as you said, people can make too many of them, or they can be, like, too ambitious or too far-reaching. They can definitely be, like, a useful guide for your year, but I think people are, like, much better off. Like, let's say someone puts as a resolution, I want to run Dublin Marathon or something. Like, it's very hard to set that emotion, and, like, they'd actually sometimes be much better off just saying, all right, in January I'm going to run, like, 5k a week or something, and having, like, much more smaller achievable goals rather than, like, a huge one. Have it as a goal, but then, like, definitely set in place, like, targets, weekly, sub goals, like, targets,
objectives going along. Fair.
100%.
I think another thing for resolutions is people can be quite impatient in that they'll be trying, like, it'll be the 7th of January and they're like, oh, I'm really struggling to quit smoking. It's like, You gave it up as a new year resolution. It's going to be hard, and it's only the start of the year. And that's why what I always think is, if you can try and, if you are thinking of doing a New Year's resolution, maybe try and get, not a head start on it, but maybe try and, if it is something that you're trying to keep up, maybe try and wean off. Like, personally, like, I still kind of smoke, and I've been trying to kick it for ages, and I'm down to usually about 2 or 3 a day now, and I've been smoking a lot in Canada. Like, I was at the top of a ladder painting the upper skirtings of a house with 3 fags hanging out of it. Like, you know, if you're gonna be up there for a while, just bing bing bing. But something ridiculous. Easy. But my New Year's resolution is gonna try and be to kick smoking completely. So I have been trying to, you know, wean myself off them for ages now. So I'm down to that now, but that is one thing that I will say. And it has been working for me. Like, if you told me a couple of months ago that I'd only smoked 2-3 fags a day, I'd be like, lies. But, I think that's an important thing that I said to myself I was going to do for New Year's, but then I was like, will I really, you know, just smoke all the way up until New Year's Eve and then go, you know what, out the windy. So that is, I think, preparing yourself for a New Year's resolution, depending on how big it is. Obviously, if you want to pick up something, it's hard to wean yourself onto picking something up because you've already picked it up, that kind of thing. But
you have to create the habit rather than break it.
Yeah, I think smoking is a big one that people do on New Year's. I'm trying to think of what other ones. You know, people,
I've seen a few people trying to give up, like, eating meat and stuff, and, like, going vegan and stuff, which is admirable, I think, in fairness. I definitely couldn't do it.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm like too big an appetite.
So. I love chicken, like.
Each bean to their own. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now like on that, like with the whole resolution thing, like I feel like I'm not, I don't know if it's like a pressure thing coming up, like, well, anyway, when you were younger and you'd have a lot of people coming up to you and like, oh, what's your resolution? What's your resolution? What's your resolution? But like sometimes, like, if it's not broke, then fix it.
True.
Yeah.
My dad used to get us to write them all out in a sheet of paper and then would lock them away in like a special drawer, and then on New Year's Eve we'd take them all out again.
No.
And to see what you've done.
Yeah, I'm a fucking bleak.
Oh no.
That's actually a kind of cool. You have a time capsule like, job.
Go to the gym 4 times a week.
Yeah, that's another
4 chins.
I don't know. It's nice being when you've done like one or two of them or whatever. But
I think that's another big one is, you know, getting back to the gym. Going to the gym.
Yeah.
And like, from someone who used to be like a bit of a gym head, like I, do you know what I mean?
I'm in the worst shape of my life.
Well, I wouldn't. Nah, you're not. Like,
it's just the motivation. Like to get, like when I'm there, when I'm in the gym, I love it. I'm fresh.
Well,
yeah. But it's actually, well, depending on what I'm doing.
If you're trying to legs, you're fucking crying. Like.
But like, yeah, it's just getting into that state of mind. Yeah. And like, to be honest, like that's probably going to be like a New Year's resolution for myself. Would just be like, just to try, like, just mentally, that mental toughness to just get up and get at it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I find myself a lot of the time kind of just stewing and just kind of, you'd waste a day, and then when you waste a day, you feel even worse because you're like, you
start beating yourself up.
Yeah. Oh, what have I done?
Yeah.
So, like, whereas, like, 4 hours prior to that, if I had actually literally just walked out the gaff, I'd be gone.
You're putting a more productive mood for the day when you go to the gym nice and early. Like, you're more proactive about doing stuff. So it's definitely a really good habit to get into. Yeah. I've been finding it really hard to get down to the gym in Sweden. Like, especially when it's like minus 15 outside. It's like a 3K and like the snow. You're just like,
and it's dark outside. You wake up as well. Like,
you can just do one of those a glute builder things, you know, with all the body weight exercise. You just come back with a page and boom, wouldn't you?
Gracefit UK mass just there whacking it out like
fair, you could. But one thing that for New Year's resolutions is that I always find that people are always trying to give stuff up and very few people are trying to take something up.
Or trying to do something, that's a good point.
Like personally I'm gonna try and take up reading a little bit more. Now I know I can't really read, you know, but like I'll try, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just some of them words, you know. See, the one thing about being dyslexic and trying to read big books is you have to have your blower in your hand just to type up the words and just check, like, what does that mean? Like,
that makes it much more distracting having your blower.
Yeah, and also I read, I probably read at the same level as like a fucking 10-year-old. It takes me about.
At least you're reading though, like, absolutely.
Well, I literally, word by word, like, I try my finger underneath the sentence and just keep concentrating.
Yeah.
My resolution last year actually was to do like a book a month. Because I used to read loads when I was growing up, and like around fourth year, like once I got like a phone and a bit more like socially active and stuff, I just like completely
got cool, basically. Yeah.
Once he learned, you like pulling those in, like
got half decent at rugby, like put the jersey on and shirt. Look,
next segment. But yeah, I said like a book a month, and yeah, I followed it this year. Yeah. Sometimes though, like you get into it after a while, it doesn't even feel like a challenge or anything. You're like enjoying it. You might read like
what kind of books do you read?
I definitely prefer novels.
Really?
I read the odd autobiography or like the odd one. But I'd have to like really be interested in that person. I want to read Michelle Obama's book quite badly. And yeah, just mainly novels.
What tips would you have then there? Because I find it very hard to actually like just get going on the book, like
on the book.
Yeah, you just have to kind of persevere for like the first few chapters, and then it kind of takes it away. Or
yeah, definitely like. Bro, like get rid of your phone, like if you're gonna try and start reading, especially to start, like don't be on your phone, I'd say. Like don't be impatient with it, give it like the first like 50 pages a go. Don't be afraid to put it down if it's shit as well. Like there's no point sweating through a really bad book.
Yeah.
Like I've done that plenty of times where I've been like, who actually wrote this? This is a piece of shit, and, like put it down.
Cheers, JK Rowling.
Nothing wrong with Harry Potter, like nothing.
No, I fucking love those books. I really want
movies were great, but the books were just far too thick for me. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, they're dense. They're dense.
When a book has 600 to 700 pages, it is the most daunting thing ever. Like when you're on page 7 and you're like,
true.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, I just can't get my head around it. As like a young book, I was such a big Harry Potter fan, but when like it came to reading the books, just non-existent. But what my mum did to my brother, she said to him, she goes, right, look, we'll go over to London to the Harry Potter Museum Hogwarts thing if you read through like X amount of Harry Potter books.
Yeah.
And then to be fair to the lad, like, he gave it a crack. So he showed the effort. I think he might have got through the first one or two or something like that. I'm not entirely too sure, but yeah.
He got through the small
one. Yeah, it was an incentive, like, it was a good incentive.
That's
there.
That's brilliant. Like, my parents used to have, like, remember those blocky Game Boys, the ones that flipped up and then the SPs, I think. When I got one of those, I had to, like for every hour I spent on the Game Boy, I'd spend an equal amount of time reading.
That is great parenting.
That is very good.
That is great parenting.
After a while, like, you just learn to kind of, like, really like it and not really care.
I'm taking note of that one. Mail my kids with that. Yeah.
The young Will lads running around in the future will all be reading books.
I tell you, be a new breed.
Yeah, new breed is right. So that's kind of my New Year's resolution. Now, the last thing I did want to talk about was goal setting, and that kind of does tie into New Year's resolution, but I think it's important to kind of know when you're setting goals, you kind of have to be, as we said earlier, like, realistic with yourself. Like, I think a lot of people can set these unrealistic goals, and I definitely do it all the time, where I'm like, yeah, definitely, and then I'm like, oh god, what have I got myself into? Like, last year I took the month of February, I don't know why it was the month of February, but I did, and I tried to give up, like, drinking, smoking, eating bad, all this stuff, and I was like, right, let's do a super month in February. And I'm like, I got to, like, I don't know, the 14th or something like that. And everyone was like, why are you doing this? And I was like, don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't training for anything. Obviously, I was trying to be more healthy. But, like, when you, as I said earlier, like, I'm trying to overwhelm yourself with so many different things. You're just, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And it's just, you're just kind of setting yourself up to fail a little bit.
Yeah, much better off just picking one to give up, I'd say, or trying to reduce all of them.
Yeah. I think two big things for setting goals are they need to be specific and achievable in the time that you're setting it for.
Yeah.
Like, I think you need to be, as you said earlier, like, if you're saying that your goal is going to be to run the Dublin Marathon, you need to be time specific with that.
Yeah.
You know, measure your time a little bit. Like, right, okay, if I want to try and do that in, when's that?
October.
All right, so October. Okay, so I want to split it up into months, right? I'm going to be able to do this by then, slowly progressing onward, and not just be like, right, in October, I'm going to run a marathon.
Yeah.
And then it gets to, you know, mid-August, and you're like, geez, before you get off the couch, like, you know what I mean?
Can't see my toe.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like, I wouldn't be, kind of personally, I'm not the best at goal setting, and, like, that's what I'd be interested to hear, like, obviously what you boys are saying, like, I'm taking it all on board, because, like, I don't know, I just find myself, I just get distracted, like, at the attention span of God knows what, like, literally. I just find myself getting distracted, and then also, it's that kind of fear of failure. So, like, when you put down on a piece, it's actually like, because I wouldn't even put it down on a piece of paper. I'd just kind of shun it. I'd be like, all right, yeah, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it then. And I think it's more so, not to do with the actual goal or itself, it's that fear of actually not getting it. So if I put it down and I don't get it, well then, like, I haven't done it. And sometimes I find myself, a lot of the time, that kind of becomes a bit overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, I probably don't set as many goals as I should. I just kind of go with it and let it happen. Whereas, like, I'm kind of trying to shift my focus on not letting that fear overtake the full process and just actually just going with the process, trusting it.
Yeah.
And week by week you get through it. Like you see for yourself, like the amount of weight you've lost. Like, you obviously had a goal there.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, the goal setting for that was I really didn't like being a fat fella anymore. And, you know, when you, especially, I think when a goal isn't something that's just going to help you, but when your goal becomes something that, like, it's like, I really want this and I really need this. Mm-hmm. I remember there was a time back when I was in first year of college when I genuinely was like, what the fuck, why do I look like this? And then I'm like, well, it's because you eat so much fucking food and you don't exercise, you fat fuck. But still, it was something that I always said that I really, like, I'm still, one of my goals for, it's still ongoing because I didn't put a time limit on it, but I said that for one time in my life, I want to have abs. And I know that's probably conceited and a little bit vain, but from someone who was as fat as I was, it's a big goal for me, and I'm hoping that this will be the year that I do it. But within that, with that goal, I think it was a little bit different in that I didn't put a time limit on it, but it is specific. So yeah. I think it kind of, you don't really need to have all the criteria, but I think the thing about goals is just to have something on the horizon that you're looking for. Because it'll keep you driven for something, and it also holds you accountable. And a big thing for being held accountable for is, as you said, if you do fail, it can be disheartening, and it can be a little bit like, for fuck's sake, like, I've failed again or whatever. But, you know, as you learn in life, is like when you fail at things, you learn things. And sometimes when you win things, you don't learn as much as when you lose. And, you know, what we probably have gained from sport is a big thing. But I think if you can bring that back into your own life, is that those falls will help you rise again, as cringy as that sounds. But
that's fair.
Probably,
Oh, absolutely. There's one thing, like, you touched on it, where, like, putting pen to paper and actually writing it down, I think, makes such a difference. Like, the past few years, since fifth year, I've kept, like, a journal every year of just, like, a daily planner for, like, school and stuff, and, like, what I was going to do, like, to do this. But on the first page of each one, I'd always write my goals for the year.
Yeah, I remember.
Like, whatever, get do well in school or, like, do well in rugby and stuff. And, like, that just, like, it really helps, like, put a shape on it. And then, so, like, they're, like, if we're talking about goals, they're, like, our resolutions, for example. They're the long-term ones that you want to make happen. But then, on the next few pages, it'd be, like, or do your homework, do study. And they're all the small things that, when you put them all together, they add up and they help you reach that final goal, you know what I mean?
Fair.
Like, the targets and the day-to-day, like, objectives and to-dos all add up and help you get the final one.
Yeah, just checklist, like.
Yeah, just, like, a to-do list. There's a lot to be said for one, you know.
I'd say, yeah, just, like, even for myself, the odd time now, when I make a list, just so my mom's going to be listening to this later on. I don't want to be lying here and saying that I make a list every day, but, like, the odd time when I do make a list, yeah, like, just that satisfaction of just going tick.
Yeah, like, not a better feeling. Like.
No, there isn't. Like, you're like, oh, wow, this actually feels a lot better than I thought.
Yeah.
The only thing is that, as great as all that planning and goal setting is, another thing is to not be too far on that side, because life is what happens when you're too busy planning, you know,
like, enjoy it at the same time.
Yeah, I think as well, like, I definitely got into the habit before of trying to pre-plan things so much that I was kind of not really focusing on the bits that were happening in between. Like, I remember when I was living in India last summer, I was already planning what I was doing next, you know, and I'm just kind of, you know, setting these things, I want to do this, like, travel goals are something that I really want to see, like, a lot of the world, and I'm always like, okay, I could do this, but you're kind of forgetting, you know, when you are at home, there are a lot of other things to do, and you know, there is many more, like, portions of your life that need attention and stuff like that. And I think when you are too busy in, you know, chasing something, you do, or, well, some people may not, but I think I definitely do, is I kind of lose focus on what's around me when I'm looking too far forward.
You're not living in the moment, yeah.
Yeah,
I probably do too much of that.
Living in the moment. Like, at the end of the day, when you're 21 years old, living in the moment is probably...
It's not a bad mistake to be made.
It's not a bad mistake.
By any means.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, that kind of wraps up our goal setting. Cool. New Year's and Christmas. So, as the festive season ends and the new year starts, the Inside Trail is going to push through into 2019. But we're not done yet. Jokes or life hacks first? What are we thinking?
I'll do a joke.
All right.
Do a joke.
Let's go.
Yeah.
That's your gag, will it?
All right, so this is the Christmas special. Like, it has to be a Christmas joke. So, what do they sing at a snowman's birthday party? Freeze a jolly good fellow. There you have it, folks.
Nice.
Yeah, I see you later.
Out the door.
All
right, Brian.
Straight for the Christmas cracker.
Yeah, oh, completely.
Not the penguin bar.
Mine is much better now after Saga with it. Alright, what's the good thing about Switzerland?
I don't know,
but the flag's a big plus.
Yeah, that's clever. That's clever.
I completely looked it up.
Fair. Oh well, like, I don't have any jokes in my head. I have to look them up all the time.
I'm Some people are so good at just having, like, a few off the cuff.
What do you call a computer that sings?
I don't know.
Adele.
Oh, we need to be put down. These gags.
Stop. The gag bits are great.
Yeah, cool crack.
So, life hacks.
Alright, so, no one likes doing the ironing. Especially the mothers, the fathers, the sisters, the brothers, everyone. No one likes
it. And yourself, obviously.
Myself included. So, whenever you're putting on a wash, now, fair enough, shirts are an exception to this life hack. Although you could make it a bit easier for yourself, what you do is, when you're taking them out, now my mum showed me this, you take out your t-shirts and you, like, whip them, so, like, you get a little whip cracking, yeah, like a little, you do that maybe like 2 to 3 times depending on how creased it comes out, you dry your clothes and not even messing, you don't need to go near the iron, you can stick it on eBay, say good luck to you on your way.
Willa's new book, Washing with Willa, available on Amazon. Brian, life hack?
Nothing revolutionary. I'm just a big fan of like a really cold shower in the morning. It's meant to be, like, just wakes you up straight away. You're not feeling groggy. It's much better for your skin as well. Apparently hot showers are really bad for your skin and your hair. But yeah, it just gets you going. Nice start to the day.
Cold fair. Shower days.
Mine is a little bit weird, right? I don't know, well, maybe it is a little bit weird, maybe it is, but I talk to myself in the mirror a lot. Like, I, like, say things to myself, and I feel like it's probably a little bit schizo or something like that, I don't know, but, like, I'll sit and I'll be like, you know, and I have a full-blown conversation, just, well, not, like, in, well, maybe it is weird, I kind of regret saying it now, but, like, I don't know, it's just, like, I'll say, like, if I have something coming up, or I want to reflect on something, I'll talk, like, one thing that I often say to myself in the mirror is, you know, I got you. You know, you have to look after yourself.
Sure.
And, like, it's probably, maybe you don't need to stand in the mirror and talk to yourself like me, but what you could take from that is to, you know, reflect on yourself and look after yourself and treat yourself like you would treat someone else. Like, when you take care of someone, you know, you're always giving them attention and stuff like that. You have to do that to yourself as well.
Yeah, self-care.
Have to be nice to yourself.
It's funny that you mentioned that, though, because actually before matches, I'd say for the most part, like, I'd go into the toilet beforehand, before we go into the changing room, and have our little pre-match talk, and I'd just look at myself in the mirror, and I'd just say one or two good motivational things, like, just being like you said, you got this, like, one or two things. But yeah, it's funny you mentioned it, because we hadn't even talked about it before.
So
it is a good thing to be doing, my man. Like, yeah,
it probably is. Like, if someone walked in and saw you talking to them, they're probably like, what are you doing? Do we need to call someone? But, like, nah, in all seriousness, I do find it very helpful, and it is like a kind of a stress reliever as well, because, you know, sometimes when you want to talk about something and there's no one there, you actually might be best just talking to yourself.
And if you're working out something, if you're like verbalizing and saying out loud, kind of help a good bit.
I think thinking out loud to yourself is also extremely helpful.
Yeah, I do that so much.
Yeah, I think when you're thinking about it in your head, it's very hard to rationalize things.
Yeah.
But if you're saying it out loud, as someone else would hear it, you're like, okay, yeah, all right, fair. So, life hacks complete now.
Sweet.
This is probably my favorite part, because everyone just complains and they're like, oh, these are too hard, and I'm like, lads, are. Okay, so rock, paper, scissors. Who's going first?
Let's go, ready?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah. Alright.
I'll go first.
Alright. Brian.
Yeah.
First question.
All right.
What do you call a baby swan?
Quack.
I don't know.
A cygnet.
What the fuck? Alright.
Okay. What do you get when you add a score and a baker's dozen?
Right.
No, you're not allowed to answer.
It's the only one I know. 22.
33. A score is 20 and a baker's dozen is 13.
Is it? Yeah. Jeez.
What country used to be called Southwest Africa?
Southwest Africa. Botswana?
Namibia. What did Mahatma Gandhi train to become?
What did who, sorry?
Mahatma Gandhi.
A lawyer.
Yeah,
nice
bingo.
Jeez, I'm not getting to it earlier.
We have our own Gandhi over here.
Sorry, Gandhi. In what sport are stones and a broom used?
Quidditch?
No. Yeah, it is curling.
Can I have that?
Yeah, you can have that. Yeah, fair. Okay. What is a shepherd's purse?
Shepherd's purse. I don't know.
Flower. Okay, next one.
Jammy shepherd's purse is there.
Can I buy a shepherd's purse down my ear? Which organ in the body is affected by otitis? O-T-I-T-I-S.
Otitis?
No, not otitis, but like O-T-I-T-I-S.
I'll say the kidney.
The ear. Which planet has at least 13 moons?
Jupiter.
Yeah, nice big O.
Nice, lad.
Stuart Little,
yeah.
Back in 1999, was voiced by what actor?
1999? Tom Hanks.
Michael J. Fox. Now, last question for you, Brian. The Roman goddess of marriage is who?
Oh, Jesus. Paul Bearman's going to kill me if I don't get this.
You was about to say.
Oh, fucking hell. Aphrodite's love, it's not her. Marriage.
That's also Greek.
Dark.
Roman is...
Venus?
Juno.
Bearman's going to find me.
So that's a total of four, Brian. You're second tied? No. Second. Yeah. So, four is not a bad score.
All right,
Will.
Let's go, lad.
Ready. How many stomachs has a cow got?
Two.
Four.
Ooh.
Oh, shit. Whose ship was first to sail around the world? Oi, none of that.
I'm not helping him.
Wait, as in, like, the...
Whose ship was first to sail around the world?
My JC history, like,
yeah, I know, but there's two answers to this.
No, there's only one.
Not the first.
No, the first person to sail around the world.
You know, Columbus, like.
No, Magellan.
Magellan. I'm pretty sure I did it now. Something on him back in the day.
Here's kind of a little tricky one. So, in which team game is the objective to move backwards?
You know this one. You know the move
backwards. Simple enough game.
You know, backwards, oh, boys, like, get me on the spot here.
That's the idea of a trivia quiz.
Move backwards. I'm gonna go with rugby.
Tug of war.
Oh, we should pull him back. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say rowing. I suppose it's not game, is it?
Well, no.
I just thought, like, rugby should pass in the backwards. So, like,
true.
Yeah, but, yeah, I suppose the team objective is probably to go forward, though.
Ah, yeah, but just so I didn't sound like a complete idiot. I'm like, kind of put
yeah, just trying, yeah, fair. Okay, Hearts and Hibs are from what Scottish city?
Glasgow.
Edinburgh,
yeah. Fair.
What is a baby goat called?
Wow, I like a goat. Lionel Messi will. Not having a clue.
A kid. Okay, who does Donald Trump refer to as Rocket Man?
Rocket Man. Oh, I really need to start reading. Oh, yeah. Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, nice. Please. One. What is the currency of South Africa?
Having a breeze.
A South Africa. It is the Rand.
The Rand?
Yeah. Rand. Freddie Flintoff?
Name.
Not actually his first name.
No way.
Ooh.
True. What is his first name? Well, I presume you don't know because you were shocked that that wasn't his first name. But
it's not Freddie, I'll go with Frederick.
No, it's Andrew.
It's Andrew, right?
Yeah, it's strange.
Where would you get Freddie from out of Andrew? Like,
could be his middle name or something.
Freddie Sheridan.
What's up, Freddie Sheridan? How you getting on? How many points for potting the yellow ball in snooker?
Five.
Two. Five is blue. Fun fact. Okay, and your final question, Will. Sad story here. If you don't get this right, you are officially the bottom with one.
But if you do
get it, then you're on par with Conor Byrne and Andrew Sheridan. So if you can get this next one, you're in that, like...
Let's go, lad.
Okay. And I feel real bad because I really don't think you're going to
get it. Yeah, it's a stinker. Like,
okay, what is the name given to a male rabbit?
Hare?
No, a buck.
Oh, it's a hare as well.
So, unfortunately, that is you at the bottom now, Will.
It's alright, we take our points.
So just at the end of 2018, I don't actually have the list in front of me, but so I'm going off the top of my head, but our standings are... Tom at 5, Brian at 4, Fiacra at 4.
What? Fiacra at 4.
Jeno at 3.5.
3.5?
Where's the 0.5 from?
Because I asked him a question about the World Cup or something like that, and I said Rugby World Cup and it was Football World Cup. He still got the answer wrong, but I said the question wrong, so I gave my 0.5.
Of course he fought.
Yeah, I definitely fought for that extra bit.
So we've got Tom, the Fiacra and Brian on 4, Jeno on 3.5, James Kenny on 3, Andy and Conor Byrne on 2, and Will Lyons on 1.
Listen, I'll finish this year at the bottom, but mark me next year.
Yeah, see you next year. We're going to get top, baby.
At the top,
we got all this.
study this, Mike. Lastly,
before we kind of finish up then,
Anything that you want to say to finish off your 2018? Just your final farewell to 2018. Anything you'd like to say?
Listen, we've had our ups, we've had our downs. Hopefully next year there'll be more ups and downs. Hopefully the lads stay here, not going anywhere. Yeah. Cheers to everyone who's been a part of my year. You all mean something to me, and yeah, looking forward to what's in the future.
Brian?
I think Will has hit that pretty well in the head, yeah.
I'm going to just do my final farewell at 2018 in that it's been a great year. Obviously, as Will said, you know, our Wolfpack has become, I think, a lot closer this year, and it's great. And I know people listen and probably don't really care about our Wolfpack, but fuck you, I wanna embrace my Wolfpack right now.
This isn't about you.
But yeah, no, and I think it's important for everyone to embrace the people that have helped them along this year, whether, you know, it be the small things, the big things, you know, if you had a tough time, someone helped you, or whether it's just someone who's been consistently your pal or someone you've talked to, embrace them, because, you know, you've had a year with them, they may not be here next year, you know, you never really know when anyone's going to go, so you got to embrace each other. Also, 2018 is the birth of the Inside Trail, so I hope, you know, hopefully we can kick on a bit in 2019. I have some cool things lined up for the new year, so stay posted, and maybe I'll tell you, maybe I won't, maybe I'll surprise, I don't know. But that's pretty much it, really. Thanks a million, lads, for coming on. It's been a lovely spew, you know, Christmas time and New Year's, it's always a nice time to sit down and chat, and hope to have yous all back on soon.
Thanks very much, Alistair.
Yeah, exactly. You want to say goodbye to the people?
Goodbye.
See ya.
Ba-da-ba-bum! Goodbye!